here. My name is Becky Branford. I'm a journalist on the BBC News website, and I've also been active in media workers against the war for a few years now. I just want to say, before I introduce our four illuminating speakers, I wanted to point out that yesterday was the five-year anniversary of the statue of Saddam in Ferdah Square in Baghdad. And I think this is an example of the kind of media coverage that we're trying to expose and dissect in meetings like this. It was portrayed by the world's media as the kind of spontaneous response of Iraqis thrilled to have been liberated by a kind of benign American power from dictatorship. And as many of us know now, it was perfectly clear to journalists reporting at the time that the event was effectively staged and the props supplied by American soldiers, such as the flag, the American flag used to cover the face of the Saddam statue. And since then, serious doubts have also been raised about whether any of the Iraqis were actually attending voluntarily. But none of this was reflected in the breathless and admiring coverage of mainstream journalists there at the time. It's just one example of the failures of our media to bring us the full story. If you'd like to get involved in our campaign, basically our campaign has a couple of aims. One is simply to campaign inside the media for fair, balanced and accurate reporting, but also to draw people with media skills into the anti-war movement. And if you'd like to get involved in our campaign and you haven't signed up already, there should be sheets around for you to give your details. Please do so. So with that, I'll introduce our first speaker. Lindsay German is one of the founders of really one of the biggest social movements this country has ever seen, the Stop the War Coalition. Just to say at the outset, I'll ask speakers to speak for about 10 minutes and then open the floor to discussion. So thanks, Lindsay.
Okay, well... thank you very much, Becky, and thanks again to everybody for coming. I too, like Becky, my starting point was the demonstration which pulled down the statue of Saddam Hussein, as she says, almost exactly 5 years ago today in Baghdad. And I must say, I've organised many, many demonstrations, and no doubt many of you have been on demonstrations, but I've never, ever organised a demonstration of 200 people which got any coverage at all, let alone which got the kind of coverage which went around the world as a result of the pulling down of the statue. And the way in which it was portrayed as this incredible spontaneous outburst of the Iraqi people, I think some of us at the time realised this wasn't quite right, and there were bits of the square that you couldn't see, and all this kind of thing. But I think this was done as a deliberate attempt by the American government, backed up by the world's media, to give the impression that just as when the Americans entered Paris, the liberation in 1954, people were throwing flowers in front of them and all this kind of thing. This wasn't happening in Iraq, and indeed, when you look at despite what the man from Fox News said, the Fox News anchor, David Asman, I suppose those of you who are fortunate enough to watch Fox News won't be surprised by this, but he said, if you don't have goosebumps now, when you see the statue falling, you will never have them in your life. Well, I hope most of us have got more reasons for getting goosebumps and seeing this kind of fake demo. But they also said that this was a mass crowd. But in fact, what you found was the Boston Globe did admit that whenever the cameras pulled back, they revealed a relatively small crowd at the statue. A Reuters long shot of Ferdow Square, where it took place, showed that it was nearly empty, ringed by US tanks and Marines who had moved in to seal off the square before admitting the Iraqis, so much for liberation. And of course, the first thing that they did was to put up an American flag, which was rather too much even for the people who were present in the square, and they had to replace it. But this gives you an idea of perhaps, and this on one level isn't the worst example, or anything like the worst example of what has been done. But it gives you an idea of the PR and the spin and all these other kind of things that go on in terms of trying to sell us war. And indeed, one of the people supposedly responsible for the statue thing was the man who also, when Kuwait was liberated in the first Gulf War was the person who gave everybody little American flags. And as the authors of this book say, you might wonder where they all got little American flags and Kuwaiti flags from. They weren't lying around in most Kuwaiti's houses. These were provided in order to show a particular picture that the world wanted to see. Now, I don't want to talk very much tonight because we have journalists here who have been to Iraq and who have a great deal of experience in terms of discussing these things, but I think it's worth making a few points about the way still that the media reports these things. Firstly, it's worth thinking about where the news comes from. That most of the news that we get about war is from people who are embedded, which means they're with a particular army and therefore they're getting their information from that particular army. Lots of the rest of the news that we get from Iraq is from the Green Zone. Now, I've never been to the Green Zone in Baghdad, but it is a huge area which covers, I mean, it would be like, you know, Mayfair and Hyde Park and Oxford Street all being controlled by one group of people, an occupation within an occupation of the country. And that's where a great deal of the rest of the news comes from, because most journalists don't go outside of the Green Zone or don't venture very far out of it. And of course there's also the question of priorities. You see, there are certain things that are told about and there are certain things that are not. I'll give one example, which is that the gassing of the Kurds in Halabja during the Iran-Iraq War, which was during the 1980s, is used repeatedly and was used repeatedly in 2003 as an argument in favour of toppling Saddam Hussein and of invading Iraq. Now, the gassing of the Kurds in Halabja took place in the late 1980s. The incident was a terrible incident where thousands of people died. The Iraqis were, of course, supplied by weapons by the Western powers, so perhaps that's why they kept a bit quiet about it at the time. But during the first Gulf War in 1991, Halabja was barely mentioned in the media anywhere. It was only in the run-up to the 2003 war that it was mentioned. Now, if it was important enough to be mentioned in 2003, it was important enough to be mentioned at any other time previously. But again, it was an incident which was used and which was selected in order to put a particular light on what was going on in Iraq. And it seems to me that one of the things that we have to try to break through in terms of the media is not just reporting about the war. I mean, for example, the whole question of civil war, which I'm sure that the other speakers will refer to, there is a great deal of talk about civil war, which a great deal of which is self-serving talk. If you look at the figures given even by the American military in 2007, so only last year, American army sources said that 74% of all significant attacks in Iraq were on US forces. That's nearly three quarters of attacks were on US forces. Another 16% were on the Iraqi police, and 10% were against civilians. Now, I don't believe that anybody who just watches the television in Britain or just reads most of the newspapers and most of the coverage would ever dream that those were the statistics. They would think this is Iraqi killing Iraqi and the British and the American troops are there in order to sort this out. And of course, the British troops aren't there to sort anything out. They're only there for political reasons. They're not playing a military role. In fact, they're sitting at the base at Basra Airport, waiting for some time, and they hope that they can withdraw. They're there because Gordon Brown doesn't want them to withdraw, because that would be a political blow to him and to George Bush. They're not playing any military role. But the truth is, as well, the biggest lie that is perpetrated to us is the lie that somehow our troops are peacekeepers, are helping things, are holding the ring between different groups of Iraqis who otherwise would murder each other and would destroy each other. That simply is not the truth about what is going on in Iraq today, or indeed in Afghanistan today. And it is one of the ways in which the kind of sleight of hand of the media really operates. But of course, it's also that we don't hear from Iraqis themselves. We don't hear from the victims of wars, not just in Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, which has one of the biggest refugee problems in the world. We hear about Darfur, which isn't the direct responsibility of the British government. We don't hear about what's happening in Somalia, which is involved in an extension of the war on terror, and the Americans have their ships off the coast of Somalia and are engaged in fighting in one of the poorest countries in the world. We don't hear about any of those things. But also I was very struck when I saw Nick Broomfield's film, The Battle of Haditha, that suddenly you see Iraqis and you hear Iraqis and you see what they're doing and what they're talking about. Admittedly in a pretty horrible situation where there's fighting going on, but nonetheless you begin to get their side of the story. You don't see that in the British media hardly any of the time, and that is an issue of great concern. And finally, I want to say, of course, the other thing you hear very little about in the British media is the massive anti-war sentiment in this country, that repeatedly people call for withdrawal of troops. A majority of people in this country want the troops not just out of Iraq, but out of Afghanistan within a year, and that was one that was 3 months ago. There is no support for this war in any substantial section of British opinion, apart from the editors of the newspapers, the MPs and the government. This is where the support lies, and one of the things that we have to challenge as well is not just the lack of reporting from the wars themselves, but the lack of reporting about that alternative opinion, about the alternative, the many, many demonstrations, protests, vigils, all sorts of things that go on which are deemed not newsworthy because they've been done before. And it seems to me we have to, one of the things that we have to do as media workers against the war, as the anti-war movement, is to keep those issues firmly in the public eye. I just want to conclude by saying this. I would just like to pay tribute to the journalists on this panel. They're not the only journalists who've told us things about the war and about what happens in Iraq, which is important, which gives an alternative voice. But there are not very many of the journalists who are either capable of doing it or who are willing to do it. And I think we rely very, very heavily on alternative sources of news. We rely very, very heavily on the reports that people like these journalists have given. And that in itself is a great credit to them, but also is a shame to the majority of the British media, and particularly, I think, the broadcast media, which has an absolutely appalling record on these questions. And I believe we have to keep challenging that record until we get it changed.
Thanks very much, Lindsay. And Lindsay's the author of two books, one, Material Girls, Women, Men and Work, and Stop the War, the Story of Britain's Biggest Mass Movement, both of which are on sale at the bookmark stall at the back of the hall.